And we give each one a hearty welcome to our gospel meeting tonight. Monday night is usually our smallest. We appreciate the effort you've made to come. And we trust that God will bless you for coming. But Lord willing, we purpose a gospel meeting each night of this week except Saturday at the same time at 8 o'clock. There's a prayer meeting for those who are saved and free to come half an hour before the meeting and for a short while after each gospel meeting. Now on Friday night, we purpose having a testimony on Friday night in this hall telling how, when, and where a sinner was reached and saved by the grace of God. We're glad to see you. We welcome you here, and we announce these meetings in the will of the Lord. I would like to read in the Gospel by Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10, and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered, said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now the first book of Samuel, and chapter 18, it's 2 Samuel, chapter 18. 2 Samuel, chapter 18, and verse 24. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, And the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And further down the chapter, verse 32. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. Now the Gospel by Luke for a few verses, in chapter 19. Luke 19 and verse 3, this is concerning Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now a few verses in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 15, we'll cut in at verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. The Lord brought a blessing to the reading of his word, and may thus help us tonight to preach the gospel from these scriptures. We have read of forerunners. Oftentimes we see people running. Some are running to lose weight. Others are running to train for some event that's coming up in their life. But usually a person that we see running, they have a purpose by running. Now in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, we have read of a rich young ruler. And he came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a very important question to ask. He was greatly interested in eternal life. Now, we like to see people that are in earnest. And we trust, friend, you have come to this meeting tonight with that longing in your soul concerning this great matter of eternal life. He came with this question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? We read from 2 Samuel chapter 18. David's son had rebelled against him. He had gathered together an army around him. And there was war between Absalom and David. David didn't go to the battlefront, but he sat at the gate at home. He was waiting for news from the war. As he sat there, there were two men came running, and they both came running alone. The first man had no message, but the second man had. The first question that David asked, is the young man Absalom safe? He was greatly interested. While his son had rebelled against him, he was interested in his safety. But he heard those solemn tidings. Would God that all the enemies of my Lord the King were as that young man is. In other words, Absalom is dead. What heavy tidings. When he heard that, he went up over the gate. And as he went, he wept. His heart was heavy. Oh, his soul was burdened when every thought of his son, Absalom, Absalom's in hell. There he was with opportunities, brought up in such a home. A man after God's own heart, we read concerning David. And yet he is a boy down in hell tonight. Here they came running with heavy tidings. Some may come running to your parents or to your friends with heavy tidings. But friend, where will your soul be? We read from Luke chapter 19. Here's a man interested in salvation. He desired to see the Lord Jesus Christ. There came a day in his life whenever he sought to see Jesus. Friend, tonight, those who get salvation are those who put salvation first. Here's a man, Zacchaeus. While he was rich, not satisfied with his riches, but he says he sought to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could not. I believe there's some in our meeting tonight, and in your lifetime, you have sought God's salvation, and you found that you could not get it. Just the same as Zacchaeus. Many have come to that point. Well, I've tried. I've done all I can. And so they quit. Not so this man. Whenever he could not see the Lord Jesus, because of the crowd of people, because of that company that came in between him and the Savior, it says that he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Here's a man that meant business. And his business was in relation to eternity. And so he came, climbed the tree. The Savior came right to where he was. The Savior has come right to where some of you are tonight. You perhaps have been close to salvation, but yet right from the door of heaven, there is a road that leads straight down into hell. Judas Iscariot kissed the door, but he never entered in. Many souls attended gospel meetings, and they have come close to salvation, and then died in their sin, and ended up in the everlasting burning. But Zacchaeus, he put salvation first in his life, on this day that he met the Lord Jesus, and he received him joyfully. We read from Luke chapter 15. Here we see the Father running. This gives us a little picture of God. God the Father. So interested in poor sinners. The prodigal son, he says, I will arise and go. I will say, I have sinned. Sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. This boy was humble. When he left home, he was proud. But whenever he came back, he was humble. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. The Lord's looking for you tonight. He wants you to return. And whenever you make the move, in repentance, as this young man did, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The Father is willing to run to greet you. With that kiss of forgiveness, he planted the kiss. The fatted calf was killed. Great provision made for this boy's return, returning to God. You see, man was made by God, and he was made without sin. But when sin came in, there was that distance, there was that barrier, that blockade between God and man, sin. But when sin's removed, God lost man because of sin. Man sold himself to the devil. And God's desire is that the sinner might return to God, and he's willing and able to receive them and give them a welcome. There's a welcome for you tonight. God is waiting for you to return to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, we read of a rich young ruler. His interest was in eternal life. And so he came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever he came, no doubt those who saw him would say, well, he's in earnest. He means to do business. A rich young man running to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we trust their souls running tonight with that longing in their hearts. I want to be saved. I want salvation more than everything else. Well, then whenever he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, it's in the heart of man that they think that they've got to do something, that they must do something in order to be saved. That was Cain's mistake. Cain brought of the works of his own hand the fruit of the ground. He brought it as an offering unto the Lord. Cain's offering was rejected. It was set aside. Abel, he brought an offering. A lamb was slain. Blood was shed. God accepted Abel and his offering because of the shed blood of that little animal. That animal died in the stead of Abel for his sin. And friend, that's a picture of the gospel of the grace of God. The Lamb of God was slain on dark Golgotha's tree. And John the Baptist pointed to him one day. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's where salvation lies for souls in this meeting tonight. Not to look within, but to look to the Lamb. You see, many people depend on their believing. And they think, if I could believe enough, or if I could believe strong enough, that would save my soul. My friend, let me remind you kindly, your believing never died for your sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. There's where salvation lies. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We sang the chorus in that first hymn. Why, that salvation so clear and so plain. My sins were laid on Jesus. Now, if God laid my sins on His Son, and according to His Word, He did, where's my sin? How can I know my sins forgiven? Simply by taking God at His Word. But then you say, that's too simple. We have heard that so often. It's so simple that those who think they're educated and so on, they stumble over its simplicity. But that's God's great salvation. You mean to say, you're saying, if I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, that I'll be saved? My friend, I don't tell you. But take it from God. God says a person that believes that Christ died for their sins, they have everlasting life. But this young man, he was very upright. He had a good living life, morally clean. He had done his level best. Is that not enough? That's not enough for salvation. But whenever he came to the Savior, he came to the right person. He asked the right question. He got the right answer. But he made the wrong choice. You may have come here tonight deep in your soul desiring salvation. But whenever he heard God's way of salvation, it was then that he went away grieved. Every person who comes to Christ and who leaves the Lord Jesus, they always go away grieved. Or they go away sorrowful. My friend tonight, you come to Christ and you trust Him and you get peace and joy in your soul. The Lord Jesus said to him, after he had said he had kept the commandment, he said, one thing thou lackest. Only one thing kept this young man out of heaven. Oh, you say, it must have been some great thing. If a person would sell their soul for one thing, what was it? His love for his riches. It was not his riches that kept him out of heaven, but it was his love for his riches more than salvation. Let me ask you kindly tonight, is there one thing in your life that you would put before salvation? Only one thing. Because those who get saved, everything goes by the way. Nothing else matters. I want salvation. I must have it. And I must have it right now. This young man came to the point where he had to make a definite choice. It was either Christ and salvation or his pleasure and his riches and his sin. Do you think he made the wise choice? I believe that young man's in hell tonight because the Bible never tells us that he ever got God's salvation. And you say only one thing kept him out of God's heaven? Only one thing could keep you out of God's heaven. When we turn to Revelation chapter 21, and in verse number 8 we read, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Who tops the list in Revelation 21 of those who will dwell in the everlasting burning? It's the fearful. Those who are afraid of what their friends might say. What would my chum say? What would my workmate say? What about those around me? What would they say if I got God's salvation? Now the drunkard, he thinks, what would my pal say if I told them that I was saved? I was there. I remember drinking with boys, and as I sat in their crowd, the thought would come to me, why, if the Lord came right now, or if some tragedy happened, where would your soul be? And if I get saved, what's those boys going to say? Why, they're going to laugh. But the night that I made up my mind, I want salvation more than everything else. Their laughs didn't bother me. My soul was at stake for eternity. I was bound for hell. They didn't care about me, where I would be in eternity. Only fun and pleasure, that was all in our minds. But friend, I came a night in my life and I made up my mind. I'm not going to sleep tonight till I get this matter settled. When I made up my mind about 10 o'clock, within 2 hours, I had gotten God's salvation. Was it worth it? Think of this young man. One thing kept him out of God's heaven. One thing shut him up in hell. Only one thing that he loved more than salvation. Friends, you may try to get saved. You may try and twist every way. If there's one thing more important to you than Christ as your Savior, you'll never get the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's very clear and plain taught to us inside the pages of the Word of God. I've puzzled with this business of salvation for years. But there were always one thing, more than one thing. I wanted salvation, and I wanted the world. You see, the drunkard, he wants his arm round the bottle, and he wants salvation at the same time. That cannot be. One must go. If you had your choice tonight between that one thing that's hindering you from salvation, would you be willing to let it go? Think of the remorse of this man. His life is over. He has entered eternity, and he missed Christ. as his personal Savior, will he ever be recompensed by that one thing that hindered him, that he sold his soul for? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There was a day in the life of Zacchaeus when only one thing mattered. I want to see Jesus. Our friend tonight, we trust that's the language of your heart, that you're not going to rest tonight until you find peace in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. Oh, that crowd comes in between so many a soul. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Many are in the snare of fear. Not the fear of God, but the fear of what puny men and women and boys and girls would say about them. Well, Zacchaeus got past the crowd. It says that he ran and he climbed the sycamore tree. He made his business to put himself in the way for salvation. Some people come to gospel meetings and then they get stirred up. And then they start missing a night here and two nights there. What's wrong? They're afraid to face it. There's one thing, or at least one, hindering them from coming to Christ. Not willing to face the vital issue of their soul salvation. Zacchaeus put himself in the way. How did he get saved? He received the Lord Jesus Christ at the bottom of the sycamore tree. Can you get saved tonight? In exactly the same way. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him. That takes you in tonight. That takes me in. As many as received Christ, to them give he power. Power over sin. That's victory for the person that trusts Christ as their Savior. Before I get saved, I wondered, how could I ever stop drinking? How could I stop smoking? How could I stop playing cards? How could I stop gambling? Well, you know, when a child is playing with a razor blade or a pair of scissors, roll them an orange and they let that go and it'll kick the orange. Which is the best for them? Oh, you say the orange. My friend, God's salvation is something to be enjoyed and not to be enjoyed in time and to be enjoyed throughout eternal ages. May you be like Zacchaeus tonight. May you run to Christ. If you are earnest, he'd come your way. He wants to save you. Zacchaeus received him, and he received him joyfully. May you receive him, and receive him tonight.